Good morning and welcome. We're glad you're here to worship the Lord with us this day. Stuart has some announcements to get us started.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to any visitors that we have today. Quite a few announcements. Today we are celebrating birthdays over in Swain Hall after the service. Come over and enjoy some cake and meet some people, meet somebody new. We are having a Meet Your Deacon luncheon on the 19th. If you have not been invited by your deacon, then see them if you're going to be able to come. PW Spring Gathering has a sign-up sheet over there. There is a charge for that luncheon, and you do need to sign up. You'll see outside the doors there we have our fish. We are starting our one great hour of sharing, and we will collect the fish on Easter Sunday. So take one home, help fill it up. Anything helps. Next week, we are having the installation for Tom as our pastor. And following that, we are going to have a brunch. So we're going to have people from Presbytery and from other churches participating in the ceremony. So please be sure to come here and help welcome Tom. Debbie, did you have something? Oh, okay. I guess that's it.
All right, thanks, Stuart. One other announcement. Hazel called me last night, and Stuart mentioned the birthday celebration after church this morning. And one of the birthdays that we're celebrating in March is Hazel Bacon's 100th birthday. And so that's an exciting time. But Hazel had, there's going to be a party on Saturday, and Hazel was very concerned, wanted me to apologize to some of you that she cannot invite the entire church to come to the celebration. She has a lot of people coming from out of town and other things she's involved in. And so it's a little bit limited in terms of the number of people she can invite. And so, but she felt bad. This church family means a lot to her, and she did want me to apologize that she cannot invite all of you. So just wanted to pass that along from Hazel. Isaiah 40, verses 27 to verse 31 declares, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow weary. He will not grow tired or weary. In his understanding, no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." We come to worship on Sunday mornings for the opportunity to renew our strength, to meet afresh the everlasting God, and in him to be replenished by his strength for the week ahead for us, so that we may soar on wings like eagles, or run and not grow weary, or walk and not faint. Let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Please stand for the call to worship. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Let us worship God. You may be seated. Please join in the unison prayer of confession. God, our fears and prejudices run deep. Sometimes we can only see our own point of view. We stick with those who are like us, rarely venturing outside our comfort zones. We do not hear those crying for justice and true peace. We blame those who are suffering and in need instead of standing by them. We deny the power of your gospel to unite us with those who are different from us. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Open us to your heart of compassion and goodness. And now join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.
Please join your hearts with me in prayer. Lord God, it is a joy, it is a privilege, and it is a responsibility that we have to lift up our prayers. Thank you that you've put us into a family with one another, and part of our job is to hold each other up in prayer. And so we thank you that we have a chance to do that together on Sunday mornings. And so we pray for Bob Miller in a new rehab over in Sun City West. Thank you that he's getting more care there, and we pray that you would use that to renew his strength so he can get around and not fall down. We pray for Bill Wentling. Pray for your consistent, ongoing care for Bill. We pray for Hazel Bacon as she gets ready to celebrate her 100th birthday this Saturday. Bless her, Lord, and pray that all would come together for that celebration. We pray for Shirley Walker. Give to her the strength she needs each day. Take care of her heart, her back, her eyes. We pray for Juana Morrill. Thank you that she is getting better. Pray that you continue to dissolve those blood clots and give her good health. We pray for Diane Nesselbush. Thank you that she is getting better, and pray for your continued care for her. For Arlene King, as she's getting ready to move to assisted living and recuperating from her knee surgery, pray that you can keep watch over her. We pray for George Leahy in a new assisted living and some struggles there, and we pray that you would be with George, encourage his spirit, let him know your presence with him. We pray for Vonda Hagen. Thank you that the bleeding has stopped, that the blood clots are dissolving. Thank you that she's in a rehab now and in Surprise and regaining her strength. We pray for Floyd Beyer and Beverly Brooks. Pray for your consistent care for them. Help them with some of the different challenges that are before them right now. And we pray for the people and for the ministries of St. Christopher's Episcopal Church. And we pray for the ministry of Habitat for Humanity. Thank you for the good things that happen through the building of homes, through that ministry. And we pray that you would guide them as they look for new families to build for and new locations. We pray for your guiding and your blessing for that ministry. And we have been, for the last couple months, praying over the fruit of the Spirit. And we pray that you continue to grow your fruit of the Spirit in each and every one of us. And this morning, we're looking at the last of those fruits listed in Ephesians. We pray, or Galatians, we pray that you will grow within us the fruit of self-control. We pray that you'll grow within us the ability to control our temper. Help us to control our tongues. Help us to control ourselves in the face of temptation. Help us to control our greed, our self-centeredness, our gossip, our prejudices, and whatever else in us needs to be under the realm of self-control. We thank you. Amen. We have trusted God with our prayers. Let us trust God as well with our tithes and our offerings.
heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the people that make up this congregation. And I thank you that you have gifted each of them in different ways to be able to give financially, prayers, time, energy, whatever it is. I pray that you continue to use our gifts, each and every gift of each and every person here, to your glory, to the benefit of others around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The reading from the Gospels is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, and it is concerning prayer. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, we thank you for showing us how to pray. It is a privilege to come to you in prayer, one of your greatest gifts to us. May we use it daily. For it is when we can feel the closest to you in praying. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I love looking at Scripture, and I love working through a book, a Scripture at a time. So we have been working our way through Paul's short letter to the church at Colossae, and we're in the last chapter, chapter 4 today. The next week is the installation service, and just want to warn you, it'll be a little longer than normal worship services. Then the following week, we'll finish up Colossians with Paul's final greetings. And there's some wonderful things that happen in those last verses. But today, we're going to look at his final instructions, commands, challenges. They're found in chapter 4, verse 2 through verse 6, so a short section. This is what he writes. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word, that we may declare the mystery of Christ for which I am in prison, so that I may reveal it clearly as I should. Conduct yourselves wisely toward outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. This is the word of the Lord. Throughout this letter, Paul has been instructing us on how we ought to be living our lives in this world as people whose lives are shaped by and guided by Jesus Christ. As Paul nears the conclusion of this letter to the Colossians, he addresses two more critical matters: how we talk with God and how we talk with one another. He touches on the first of those in verses 2 through 4. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word, that we may declare the mystery of Christ, for which I am in prison, so that I may reveal it clearly as I should. Devote yourselves to prayer. Paul does not advise us to make a little bit of room in our lives for prayer. He doesn't suggest that we pray sometimes, or pray when we happen to be at church, or to pray when something happens to cross our minds, or when the mood strikes us. He tells us to devote ourselves to prayer. Devote. The word can be translated as to give all or a large part of one's time or resources to a person or an activity or to a cause. Or it can be translated as to concentrate on a particular pursuit, occupation, pursuit, or cause, such as to devote one's time to reading. Or it could be translated as to give all of something, especially your time, effort, or love to someone or to something you believe in. There is no way around it. Paul is calling us to make prayer a top priority in our lives. The Greek word Paul uses here, proskartereo, means literally to attach oneself to someone or to something, or to keep in close company with. The word is used in Acts chapter 8, verse 13, to refer to Simon the sorcerer following Philip around wherever Philip went. And it is used in Acts 10:7 to describe one of Cornelius's soldiers as being a faithful attendant to Cornelius, always being there for him. So this verse could be translated, keep close company with prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. So consider it from this perspective. God has made a promise to each and every one of us that he will never leave us or forsake us, no matter what. Therefore, let us be in continual contact with the one who is always there with us. As we go about our lives, he is the closest companion imaginable, walking along beside us, above us, before us, behind us, and within us. Throughout the day, as we encounter various experiences, thoughts, and feelings, we can and we should bring our hearts into conversation with this closest of all companions. Do you find yourself feeling worried, afraid, or agitated about something? Don't just sweat it within yourself. Talk to God about it. Do you find yourself constantly thinking about some issue, just keeps running around through your mind, and it keeps troubling you? It is good to think about it, but don't stop just there. Talk to God about it as well. Do you find yourself feeling worn out, run dry, exhausted. Don't just melt away into a puddle of sweat or tears. Talk to God about it. Pour out your heart to God over it. Do you find yourself feeling lonely, tempted, irritated, or confused? Share your struggle with God. Tell God how you are feeling. Do you find yourself feeling excited about something going on in your life or about something coming up for you? Share your excitement with God. Did somebody cross your mind? Lift up that person to God in prayer. Whatever goes on for you in the midst of your day, do not keep it to yourself. Keep ongoing company with God through prayer. O. Hallisby remarks, as impossible as it is for us to take a breath in the morning large enough to last until noon, so impossible is it to pray in the morning in such a way as to last us until noon. Let your prayers ascend to Him constantly, audibly or silently, as circumstances throughout the day permit. The reason why prayer is inseparable from a life of faith is that our faith is not a philosophy or a set of rituals, but it is a relationship with the living God. The heart of our faith does not have to do with learning how to do certain spiritual practices. It has to do with growing intimacy with the loving God. Prayer is the way that intimacy with God grows. Jeffrey Imbach points out, prayer is essentially the expression of our heart longing for love. It is not so much a listing of our requests, but the breathing of our own deepest request to be united with God as fully as possible. E. Stanley Jones adds, prayer is like the fastening of the cup to the wounded side of a pine tree to allow the resin to pour into it. You are now nestling up to the side of God, the wounded side, if you will, and you allow His grace to fill you up. You are taking in the very life of God. That's what prayer is about. It's getting filled by God. No wonder Paul counsels us, devote yourselves to prayer. Keep constant company with prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. And since prayer is powerful, and since God chooses to work through the prayers of His people, Paul asks the Colossians to pray for him. In verses 5 to 6, he writes, at the same time, pray for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word, that we may declare the mystery of Christ for which I am in prison, so that I may reveal it clearly as I should. One of the greatest things that we can do for others is to pray for them. Billy Graham suggested, heaven is full of answers to prayers for which no one ever bothered to ask. What might happen if we make those requests to God? In his book about prayer, Philip Yancey writes, he begins with a quote. He says, when I pray, coincidences happen, said Archbishop William Temple. When I don't, they don't. And then Yancey continues on, rather than dissecting such incidents, I try to use them as a building block, as building blocks of faith, to see them as God incidents rather than as coincidences. If I remember, and I blush at how often I forget, I can commit to God in advance a difficult letter I must answer, a thorny problem I must deal with in my writing, a nagging physical ailment, a phone call to a needy relative, a social engagement I dread. The very process of presenting these requests to God puts me in a different frame of mind before the event. And if I remember to pause afterward and reflect on what has happened, often the traces of God appear, seen not by proof, but by faith. Let us lift up our prayers for ourselves and for one another and see what coincidences or God incidents might happen. Next, Paul addresses the way we talk with one another. He writes, "Conduct yourselves wisely toward outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone." It seems to me that Paul's advice here grows out of his own personal struggle with ungraciousness. Our first introduction to Paul is not a picture of grace, but just the opposite. Our first introduction to Paul in Scripture is in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, where Paul is identified as one of those who is going along with the stoning to death of Stephen. The next time we meet him, Acts chapter 9, verse 1, he is described as, quote, "breathing murderous threats against the Lord's disciples." And then quickly he is pursuing Christians to lock them in jail. Not a lot of grace there. Even following his conversion, told in Acts chapter 9, we find Paul calling Simon Peter a hypocrite in Galatians 2, 11 to 13. We find him getting into an argument with John Mark and with his good friend Barnabas, an argument that splits them apart in Acts chapter 15. In Philippians 3, 2, he called his opponents dogs and evildoers. In Galatians 5, 12, he expresses a wish that those who push others to be circumcised would castrate themselves. And in Galatians 1, 9, he pronounces a curse on anyone who preaches a different gospel than his. Paul is not, by nature, a very gracious person. And on the other side of it, Paul was often a recipient of very ungracious actions and words. He is often the recipient of cruel words and harsh treatment. Major sections of his letters to the church in Corinth are in response to defense over the slander that is aimed at Paul. He was beaten many times, and a significant portion of his Christian life is spent in prison. Perhaps Paul challenges us toward gracious speech because he knows well from his own life how difficult it is to be gracious, and because he knows how painful harsh words can be and how life-giving gracious words can be. There are times when the battle for justice or when the defense of people in need compels a person to speak truth to power. When that happens, the person's words might be hard, and they might not be well received. But those hard words sometimes need to be said. We saw this often from the prophets in Scripture. We saw this from our founding fathers in their battle for liberty. And we have seen this in the battle for those, in those who battled for the abolition of slavery, and in those who fight for the establishment of civil rights. When justice needs to be pursued, harsh words are sometimes necessary. But in our general dealings with one another, let us be careful about the way in which we talk with each other, so that our words might be gracious, seasoned with salt. Dr. R. Douglas Fields comments, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." We all know how untrue that childhood incantation is. Words do hurt. Ridicule, disdain, humiliation, taunting, all cause injury. And when it is delivered in childhood from a child's peers, verbal abuse causes more than emotional trauma. It inflicts lasting physical effects on brain structure. No wonder Paul cautions us how we speak to others. Robert Fulghum adds, "Yelling at living things does tend to kill the spirit in them. Sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will break our hearts." The April 29th, 1992 issue of the Chicago Tribune reported, "A stripped gear in the propeller controls of a commuter plane caused it to nosedive into the Georgia woods last April, killing former U.S. Senator John Tower of Texas and 22 others, the government concluded Tuesday. A gear that adjusted the pitch of the left engine's propellers was slowly worn away by an opposing part with a harder titanium coating, the National Transportation Safety Board said. Quote, "It acted like a file, and over time, it wore down the teeth that controlled the propeller," said Acting Board Chairman Susan Coughlin. How tragic it is when a hard part wears down a gear in a plane, causing it to crash. How tragic it is when hard or harsh words wear down a person's spirit, causing that person to crash. No wonder Paul calls us to be gracious in our words. Gracious words bring life and health and healing. I love the way that Glennon Doyle expressed this in one of her Momastery blogs. She writes, "Does anybody remember what God used in Genesis to make the world? Was it bricks? Was it stones? It was words. God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. God's words built the world. Maybe the writers of that story wanted us to think about how powerful our words are. God created us in God's image, so like God, we can use our voices to create beautiful things. Every time we open our mouths and speak, we are either saying, 'Let there be light,' or 'Let there be darkness.' When we gossip, when we criticize, when we lie or tell hurtful jokes, or use labels that categorize and demean people, we are saying, 'Let there be darkness.' We create a world around us that is not so beautiful, and then we have to live in it. When we offer a compliment, when we defend a friend or a stranger, when we stick to the truth, when we speak a kind word to anyone, We are saying, let there be light. We are creating a more beautiful world, and then we get to live in it. And then she concludes with this prayer. Dear God, help us use our voices to create a more beautiful world. Let every word we speak be a stepping stone toward peace. Help us to speak light so we can watch darkness scatter. Please pray with me. Loving God, you are our constant companion. You have promised never to leave us, never to forsake us. You are the one who is closest to us always in our lives. So help us not to treat you like a distant partner. Help us to go about our day talking to you about whatever it is that is going on in our lives. Help us to remember your closeness to us and to honor that and to speak into it. And then, Lord, help us in our words. When we need to speak truth to power, give us the strength to say the hard words. But Lord, in so many of our dealings, there is need for gracious words, words of kindness, words of care. Help us to speak those words and to bring light and health and healing and well-being and encouragement and comfort to the people around us. Help us with this, Lord, because it doesn't always come easily to us. We pray for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're able, please stand and let's sing together, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. On your way out this morning to take one of the fish and then go about the week filling that up. Let that be part of your Lenten sacrifice, your Lenten practice. Be filling up that sheep, that fish, to be able to give help to others who are in need. And I invite you to come and join us for refreshments and, as Stuart said earlier, to get to know each other. As our benediction, I want to remind you again of the essence of what Paul said there in Colossians 4, 2, and verse 6, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving, and let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. God's blessings upon you this week.